You have your Bible if you wish to read with me. You might turn over to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and beginning about the 29th verse. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Praise God. That is a beautiful text. Nor any to answer. Nor any that would... But I ain't going to preach on that. Just got that one. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broke down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and made a trench about the altar as great as what contained 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bull ox in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels of water with water and pour it here on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. He said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trenches also with water. I'm going to preach tonight from a little thought the Lord laid on my heart. I want to preach on tying down altars and building altars for God. Help me now, Lord. Tying down altars and building altars for God. Now you say, Brother Healy, why should a man tie down an altar? And why should he get one tore down that he wants to build one back? There's a lot of altars is not God's altar. Right. Help me now, Lord. Right. There's a lot of altars is not God's altar. Yeah. Can we go back in the beginning of time and start where that I was 2 boys? God loved both of them. But one of them had the wrong kind of altar and the wrong kind of offering. His altar could have been good if he had had the right offering to put up on it. Now, what do you mean, Brother Ely? God, today I don't have to build altars. If I left up me building altars, I'd have altars all over the hills down there where I live about. Because I pray up on the side of the hill, and I get on top of the hill, and I get out in the feed house and get in the corner down at the barn, and well, I just pray wherever I feel like it. And make that my altar. I go back there a different time. We've got a little lake, little pond down there, and I made me a place to pray right out on that where we peeled the dirt up, made the dam across the holler, and I get out there and pray. Well, but the thing about it, a lot of people today don't know about the altar is because they never presented the right sacrifice. Help me now. I don't know what I'm going to do with this and this and God on me after I got here. And I ain't had time to get on this much, but to see what God's going to give me here. And that's the right way that God wants an altar said he wants to sacrifice, but there's one thing about it. We don't have to take no wool oxes today and put on the altar. And you don't have to take no sheep and no lambs or heifers and no pigeons or doves and put on the altar. All that God is asking today, he said, present your body is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before the Lord. You are the sacrifice today. It may be in your living room where you have an altar. Just by the old chair that you sit in or the devil there. It may be in the bedroom or right beside of your bed. I bet you go and come back, God. A lot of people never got to the place here until they got the right sacrifice on the altar. I believe I'm going to preach. Man and woman, I have to ever realize that man and woman needs to put themselves as a sacrifice. How can I be a sacrifice, brother? A while it used to be that men would give up a day's work to sacrifice and pray and seek God. It used to be that man didn't let the praises of this world get a hold of him because they wanted to lay praises up in heaven. Find down altars and build an altar for God. There's a lot of people that's got altars with envy on it. And God put me on that altar. There's a lot of people that's got altars that just wants to show out and show off and be the big man or the big woman or the big wheel. And God don't want that kind of a altar. Let me now, Jesus, I don't know what you're doing here, but I'm just going to try to preach what you teach me. There's a lot of people out back there offering their words and not their heart to God. It's fine. Oh, I don't want to preach here. I feel like I'm going to have to preach here tonight. There's a lot of people that sit down before God and they say, God, oh, Lord, if you'll hear my baby, I'll serve you, God. If you'll hear my husband, I'll do anything for you, Lord. If you'll hear my wife and let her live and help me raise my little children, I'll just take it real humble and mean. Actually, that is soon as that little babe, the color comes in its cheeks and it's alive and it's smiling. What she promised God on her altar, she needs to tie it down and start over. Daddy, forget what he promised God. When he got down before God and said, God, if you'll give me the Holy Ghost, I'll tell it everywhere I go. If you'll say that, I will keep you healed. I'll be like a lion in the city. At the top of the hill, the one time God feels them, but he feels them. They can give me time if I can't. I'll be seated on the loser friends. I've got an altar needs to be tore down. Build an altar for God. Where that God can use you. Where that God can move in you. If you notice that, just with the Christ, this man that cut people, that I read in my scripture lesson about, but they had their fathers, and God offered a sacrifice on it, but they were compact from the Lord God, and they had prayed and prayed, but they had sought their God and their party. They had the wrong offering, had the wrong sacrifice, had the wrong altar, and had the wrong thing in their heart. You can't get God to move on an altar. I wish I could first have God ever been here. Somebody said, I cannot understand. But why would I pray? But that God don't hear. But when I seek God, but that he don't feel. When I seek God, but that he don't bless the effort. But that I make you back up and set your heart out. And see, they could feel a little hatred in there. They could feel a little envy in there. That could be a little
Maybe you ain't coming clean and holding us this job. Help me now, Lord.
I do like the world.
Help me, Lord. Just give it to me, Lord. I'll take it.
All right.
Help me, Jesus. Stand down, officer. How can you call yourself a Pentecostal woman when there's a sinner woman one time? A sinner woman come in the house where my Jesus was, and she took a vial of sweet smell and odor of good perfume, and she broke it and poured it up off the head of my Jesus. And Sister Collins, she got down. She was a sinner woman. Search the scriptures. She was a sinner woman. And she got down, and she had so much high that she made a pile out of it. She got down a crying. This was a sinner woman. There's a lot of Pentecostals can't cry. Your heart's not a humble door. But God could have made them cry. The hell of a woman. And I'm not pleased. She was the master's piece. God is. I'm feeling my crying down off. You should raise your head on me. And if it is a death, I know it's your man here. He's a death on me. I'm picking the knife on my crying down off. And feeling an offer to God. God, look for people today. I've got to look holy. I've got to talk holy. I've got to walk holy. I've got to go holy. I've got to live holy. Help me, Jesus! People can't play good. People can't play good if they got envy in their heart. People can't play good if they're a backbiter. People can't play good at a ball game. I don't care if it's a football game, baseball game, or a basketball game, if it even gets down to a softball game, it's still a ball game. I didn't get many amens on that and just fall out anyhow. Somebody stop bothering you! You hit the boys in the face and you taught the men with own house. I can't understand how these Pentecostal mothers cut it off and tore it up like a pool of dogs. And, oh, how many hearts are seen like our world in a backers, in a back up in a back around, laying in the colored people there, put sand on or something other, try to straighten it out. And white people, they'll cut it off and kick it. And say, oh, help me, God. I'm keeping the knife. I thought we need to be holy. We need to be holy. You want this church to grow, you be holy. You want this church to go, you be holy. You want this church to go to the top, you be holy. You got a holy pastor. You got a holy pastor. Gotta put you to proof. You're standing on the proof. Do what he tells you. Don't do like Israel. That's what I'm made you. That's not so common. That's the rock God says. That's the rock path. The word of God. If Adam has you a glory, let it be glory because a lot of you ain't got much glory. I'll get you, Brother Lee. I won't be enough left nothing. I'll fix you, old buddy. I'll come back because I don't want you like I heard. I'll come back, but I won't be nothing. I'll fix you, old boy. Just keep it. Just keep it. I want to help the one who comes here. Oh, I thank you, boy. He'll help me put gas in the car. He'll help keep that little baby alone. And if I want to drive the Cadillac and keep it loaded, I'm going to tell you one thing about it. You don't want to get this people. I'm going to preach the truth. And if I don't preach the truth, Father Collins, y'all can get me to the bell and say, Brother Ian, you've got out of line, honey. And I'll look at you and put my arm around your neck. And I'll say, thank you, brother, for collecting. But I'm picking the knife, tied down all God, and building altars for God. Abraham had an altar. His altar was the type of Christ.
His offering was a type of Christ. Everything that Abel done pointed towards Jesus Christ. Him being slain, a true man of God, was a type of Christ. But look at the other side. I might use it like this. The other side was a type of a lot of Pentecostal holiness people. God spoke to them. God directed them. God preached to them. God spoke to them in the Holy Ghost. Tongues and interpretations. God prophesied. Just like he did Cain. He tried his best to direct Cain. He tried his best to save Cain. He didn't want Cain to perish. He wanted Cain to be saved. But Cain said, I don't have to listen to what God says. In my way of speaking, I'll do it the way I want to do it. He took earthly things and offered it God don't want. God just wants you. God just wants you. God wants you, Mama, to be with something that your children can look at and say, Mama was really what she testified. Mark, Dad, Son wants you to be just what you testify you are. If you say I'm Pentecostal, well, Pentecostals believe in the real thing. Can I get amen out of amen, Corning? I said Pentecostals believe in the real thing. But in our day, and help me, God, I'm going to tell you, Lord, you've got me out on a limb right now. Help me, Lord, don't let me cut it off with myself. Let me climb a little higher. Yes! But just like a lot of Pentecostals today, his earthly things, God didn't want it. God wanted a blood offering. God wanted a flesh offering. Can you give it to him? For you to let your body be? Did we say let it be a temple for the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. I could stand up behind the desk and act like a big one, sir, but I feel like a foolish, so I want to be called and get down here with you. Oh, God, you still want to fly, you want to fly shopping. But he's not you. He's not you. He don't want no lambs. That's one down away there. He don't want no goats or sheep or cattle or cows. That's one down away. He still wants the blood offering, but he wants your blood stream to be clean. He wants your blood stream to be holy. By the blood of Jesus Christ, that's taking away the sins of the world. How can you, brother, call him? How can you, brother, say the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleansed me from all sin and filled the one sin? How can you, my sister, how can you say that the blood of Jesus Christ, that is filled the Calvary, and God, not the God, has cleansed me, saved me, has made me whole, and still not sin? I know what somebody's going to say, I got it in my heart. I know what somebody's going to say, I've got heart religion. Now, Brother Eli, you're looking at the outside religion. Heart religion makes the outside feel like the inside. If the outside shows up wrong, then the heart's wrong. Help me, Jesus. Am I preaching all right? Lord, I want him to do this. And God beat me to it. I'm afraid to not obey him. I come back up here really telling you the fact. I come back up here and he's going to preach on another thought. And I would have probably read the same scripture that I'd already read tonight. But I come in and shut down and bless my... on the back if you want to. You can just take and give me a cold shoulder if you want to. Either way you want to do it, I'm still going to do it for God. Still going to do it for God. Look at our world. Look at the little the generation that was singing here a while ago. These two little boys and girls. You wouldn't be pretty if you got that cut off. You wouldn't look a bit holy with that cut off. And you take that off and you put a little of that blue stuff around your eye and put a little of that red stuff on your lip, you look like a little Jezebel. But to me, you look like a little Pentecostal holiness girl. And you do too, honey. And you do too. And I tell you what, mamas and daddies ought to live before these little boys and these little girls just like they want them to live. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. How can I do it, Brother Eli? Just to get the altar out of you to sin. Tear it out. Tear it down. Build you up a holiness altar. Build you up a Pentecostal altar. Build you up a Holy Ghost altar. Praise God. I told you a while ago why that God can't get to a lot of people and answer their prayers. They're on the wrong altar. Probably a lot of your husbands will get saved in this revival if you start tearing down the altar that you got. Probably a lot of your wives will start getting saved in this revival if you tear down the altar you got. Help me, Jesus. That boy that you can't get to come to church, Mama, just look back over and be like the disciples when they begin to tear down altars. They looked around and they said, Lord, is it I? Am I the one? He looked up and said, now it's Brother Collins as a talk. Brother Hughes. That barber comes up and says, he's the talk. He's the one. That fellow, the secretary and treasurer, you better watch him. He's the one. Let me tell you, Father, who's the one? You are the one. When you start putting fingers on somebody else, you put it on yourself. Help me, Jesus. Abel, what are you doing, son? I'm offering up a blood and a flesh offering. I built an altar, and God's accepted me. God, that's what he wants to do tonight. Cain, you got lumber. What's the matter? There's no fire coming down. That yours is still laying down. The sun roasted it out and drying it up. What's the matter? I've got the wrong altar and the wrong offering. He had the wrong thing in his heart all the time. God looked at him with the wrong thing in his heart and said, if you do this thing, son, said, sin like it to do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. And that's what God said to people today. That's what God's saying to people today. If you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you don't, sin sign at the door, you're going to get in trouble. That's why a lot of people get in trouble. They won't listen to God. That's why a lot of people commit adultery and fornication. It's because they won't listen to God. That's why a lot of people go down to the stadium and hoot and holler for the rich. It's because they ain't got enough of God. That's why a lot of things have been organized in our Pentecostal churches. That's not of God. It's because people's losing God. And losing the seal of the Lord. Losing their altars to pray. Losing their sacrifice. And that is the number. They don't need to go to feel God anymore. They come in. They come in. And a lot of times they go and lay down the couch. Hey, hon, you know now what I like to see over there. Turn it on, will you? Bring me a cup of coffee and a glass of milk. And will you lock me one of them lockers up? They used to pray. They used to have an altar. They used to have an altar. Where they were laying, sister, they used to come in and kneel there. And while wife was getting supper, they was down there crying before the Lord. Sweet! Send revival, oh God. Send revival, Lord. Bless our church. Oh God, bless our pastor, knowing him. Give him the message, Lord, that we need. Oh God, bless our singers. Bless our prayer warriors. But how are you for? Tell me what time is it? Ain't time to go. And turn on Lucy. Am I preaching all right, brother? Lord, I didn't preach this nut now, boys. Listen, it's from the mouth of the Lord. Praise God. If Abel is the type of Christ, and his altar was the type of sitting and laying down and putting the sail out for God. Then along come another fella, and he had an altar. Yes, he did. But there come another fella along, and they called him Noah. And he was the righteousest man God could find. But Noah, after the flood, he made an altar. He made an altar, and it was the type of thanksgiving. His altar was the type of thanksgiving. A lot of people has got the altar. They exalt the sale, but they never do things to give thanks to God. There's a lot of people that are always asking and complaining, but they never do look up and give thanks to the Almighty that brought her husband home from work, brought wife home from the hospital, brought son or daughter home from the foreign soil. Ah, I can remember in the hills of Virginia, before I went into the Second World War, some of them had already gone. Their mamas and daddies had got them hills out. You could hear them on Sunday morning as I walked up that old creek they called Puckett's Creek. I could hear them on one hill, and I could hear them on the other. And down a mile away was a high point, and I could look over and hear a man holler, oh, God, help our nation. Not with a little high place where I could look. Oh, yes, sir. I could hear others thanking God and praising God. But today we don't hear much of it. We don't hear much of it. We need to tear down our altars. That's where we built up ourselves. Where we sit down and not even thank God and praise God and give him the glory and start glorifying God for saving our children, filled up with the Holy Ghost, saving life and husband, and delivering up from the hands of the devil. That the devil, how we begin to praise God and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. This man Noah had come to a flood. He'd come to a time of trouble. And now he was thanking God. Somebody said, that all the way God wants to thank him? I hope I don't get wrong here. God would love for every man and woman, boy and girl, to give honor to him. Of 10% of your earnings. Now, Brother Reader, we don't all believe in that. I can't get how you believe. I know what the word says. Somebody said, I put $10 in the slip, and I don't let people know what I make. Well, it ain't none of their business what you make. Just put 10% in. And give honor to God for what he's asked you to give. I don't want nobody to know my business. Well, put so much in a slip and put the other in open, and they don't know it. Thank you, Brother Collins, for saying that right. I never got too many of that at right around here. Hallelujah. You young men and women, when you get your job, you ought to start paying tithes. 10%. Start right off. You mamas, if you got a job, I hope you're home with the kids, but if you got a job, give 10% of it. And you dads, you better give 10% of it, or you'll have to pay it out in a hospital bill or a car rent. You pay it out somewhere or another. You will. bills. You bet I'm so rich. So just give thanks and honor to God. He just asked you for a dime out of a dollar. And didn't give an offering on the side. Yeah. How many of you say amen out of your heart? There's different ways to give thanks to God besides clapping your hands. There's different ways in giving thanks to God and praising God than in a dance. He requires some things out of us being Pentecostal people. He requires some things out of us being Pentecostal people. We are supposed, if you hear the outsider talking, we are the most holy people on earth. But he's been around the door. I went in a big store, Mother. And I was letting Sister Eva do the trading, Brother Collins. And I stood back where people had to pass me. And I said, I'm going to pick out me a Pentecostal woman. And I'm going to have enough courage to walk up to her and ask her, what kind of religion you have? What kind of church you go to? I don't. And I stood there, and here come one along, and she had a pretty long dress. That's down to here. But she had it cut off. I just let her go on by. I did. I'm preaching you the truth. And there's another come along. And she looked good. It was down to here, and up around here. But I looked, and she had a strain around here. And she had some on here. Help me, Lord. And she had a pretty twist back here, but I just let her go on. When it, in a little while, look at another. It was down here, around here, a twist back here, but I looked a little close and she had a little blue under here, and then a little under here. I said, bye-bye. There you go. But in a few minutes, here come another too. And she didn't have none on here. She didn't have none around here. She had a beautiful roll that come down here on her shoulders and back up here, and it's big. And she didn't have nothing on here and nothing on here. And, oh, I said, that's a Church of God woman, Pentecostal woman. She's in a full gospel somewhere or another. And I walked up. Then I said, lady, I said, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but I said, what kind of church do you go to? I thought you'd go to say Pentecostal or Church of God. She said, I belong to the old regular Baptist. I belong to the old regular Baptist. And I tell you what, that woman looks holy and looks righteous. And probably she was. Them old time old regular Baptists used to teach you that you belong to the church you live in. They were so strict that they didn't live it. They had what they called a conference and turned you out of the church. If we accept a Pentecostal minister instead of a permanent and putting it down and pounding it down, we'll sit up and say, I just don't want to hurt that. That's a good tie player, and I tell you what, I don't want to run him off. We'll lose our whole family. We'll lose our whole family if I take and push it right. Oh, I want to tell you, that's why our churches are like they are today. That's why our churches are like they are today. Oh, them preachers come along and they sweetened it, and they let them look like they had a what we call these people, Africans. I know what it was all the time, just when somebody said it. Help me, Jesus. We need offers of thanksgiving, just praising God and glorifying God. Oh, I tell you, that person ought to come in here Monday night. People who praising God and glorifying God and lifting up God. I wish there were not. You could come in, just praise of the Lord. Exalt Him and lift Him up. Ah, let's have a revival. Let's have a revival. Let people be saved. Let's have a revival too, that people get sanctified in. Let's have a revival too, that people be
fire. With the Holy Ghost and fire. With their souls. Hallelujah. The way we can do it. It's kind of our court of authors. And just spread the authors. What that God will have.
Abraham had an altar. And Abraham's altar was an altar of obedience. I preached an altar tonight, an altar of cry, an altar of thanksgiving. And now, what am I preaching now? An altar of obedience. Now, do you know, Sister Collins, that obedience is better than sacrifice? Wow. I'll just steal it, if you don't care. The Bible teaches us that even a pastor's wife, a bishop's wife, should be obedient. You may not be a pastor's wife, but you're supposed to be obedient to your husband, too. And do you know who you're supposed to be obedient to besides God?
Your pastor.
I'm preaching you the truth. You're supposed to be obedient to your pastor. He's standing in God's place. His vocal cords are being used for God. His mind is the mind of God. Don't be quiet on me there. If that's where a pastor's supposed to be, he's supposed to have a mind like God. He's supposed to have a message like God. If it's rebuke, rebuke. If it's to bless, bless. If it's correct, correct. And then we're supposed to be the people that obey them that have rule over you. Hallelujah. Oh, what it is to be a real Christian. A real person to obey God. And this man, Abraham, was. He would just soon take his only son and offer it up and take its life. And if it was a lamb, a beast, he would just soon to obey God if it was cut the closest thing to his heart. And he had faith in God. They say, when I took the mountain to prepare this altar and give this sacrifice, the little ass said to him, well, I thought, Dad, you've got the wood and you've got the fire, but where's the sacrifice? We ain't got no lambs and no pigeons. We ain't got no goats. We ain't got no, where's it at? He looked down at him and doesn't see him smile in the face. He said, son, God will provide. When you obey, this altar of Abraham was the altar of obedience. Now, a lot of people need to tie down that old stub. I don't need to listen to the pastor. I do what I want to do. I got the Holy Ghost and He teaches me. I don't have to listen to nobody give me no instruction. I do what I got a head of my own that's the truth you should have. I've got a mind of my own. I just do what I want to. Now, God said pastors to be all the people. And teachers to teach and evangelists to try to get souls saved. Somebody said, well, you usually ain't trying to get souls saved. I tell you, if you'll do what I tell you, I'll say a whole lot of you get saved. I tell you the truth. You do what God's given me to teach you tonight. There'll be a whole lot of you this hell. There'll be a whole lot of you go to heaven. Hallelujah. 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 And you tell me sometimes. sometimes. It uses me to talk to people sometimes. Oh, yeah. It uses me to prophesy sometimes. And he has put me to people and told them just what was in their hearts. And they cried and they said, it's a fear. I'm not going to be asked. You said, excuse me. Leave me alone. Well, how about preaching? Well, that was me. I was come to preach from the mouth of God. I never come to preach from Brother Eli's manner and Brother Eli's manner, but I come to preach from the mouth of God. If you'll obey what God gives me to preach to you, this place will be so full of holiness. It's a full of the power of God. That I'll see the people through the doors without involving all God. That's the repentance of his sin. And you've got his heart. Get me, please. So we need to tell them our stubborn altars, our stubborn movies, our ways, our customs. A lot of people built up in customs, Brother Chester. They have a lot of customs. And a lot of these baptists are customs, Brother Pace. And a lot of people, that's what people set up on customs. So that's about all they're doing. A lot of people's got them set up on fables. A lot of churches are set up. Got me, Jesus. On these long, hard quartets. A lot of churches set up on. Do you know what? Don't call that when the content is real. But do you know what? Do you know what? I won't let a long, hard boy get on my stage and play an instrument. There's a dear boy. Somebody invited him in. He had been on here. And I come in and he had got to go with the band. And I thought, Lord, that's a strange boy. Bless his heart. And I played around a little while. And they started playing. And he started playing. And I walked over. I ain't got the biggest church in the world. And I don't expect to have the biggest one in the world. But there's one thing about it. As long as I'm their pastor, they're going to do what God tells me to tell them to. And I'll screw his right up and screw up beside him. I said, son. I said, honey. I said, I've got some things that God requires from me. I said, I don't let no men get on my stage and preach and sing and play music. That's got long hair. He said, so-and-so invited me. He was nice to me. You'd see people nice. They'd be nice to you. He just got down and left off of the stage. That was it. Now, you girls, bless your heart. Don't get mad at me. I'm just Claudia. There's some of you, I wouldn't have to say my heart and my hand. Because if you just don't look holy enough. But I love to just sing. And I'm not nothing on you, but I'm just saying, well, I am down home. And listen, boys, if some of your good wives is in the state that I'm teaching, but don't you shut your door up of your heart against me. And don't you good sisters get mad and shut the door of your heart against me, because I know that God's in me. And God's in this place. And God has anointed me. And God's given me the message. Hallelujah. And I'm trying my best to obey him. I'm not down to, Lord, have mercy. This good Bible's so full of other good things. But if God would never tell his sister here this morning, I said, honey, I said, I get that good revival up there. It's going so good. I said, I just feel like just packing up and going to God. Just pack up and go to God. Oh, I think we're having a great revival. And I hope that you don't let this message put a scotch in it. but I hope you attend to your heart and be obedient. As Abraham was, it may be to tear out something in that, take the dagger to it, get it out. It may take you a few months or a year to show up good, but let it show up in a year. The children of Israel in disobedience, they were. They had an altar. They had an altar of deliverance. They got down, we're going to try to rush through here, right past, they got down right in the middle of the sea. They cut them 12 stones and heaped it up down there and built them an altar. And they had enough faith that they felt that if they ever got to come back by that way, that he'd be a reminder to their children. This was an altar of deliverance. You can have it. Lord, have mercy. When I was a little boy, Mama and Daddy had an altar of deliverance. And if one of our children got sick, somebody got out on the hill and they hollered for the next door neighbor that lived down about a quarter of a mile. And they hollered down to the next door neighbor and seen a little boy running down the road. And before you know it, them hillbillies was in there. Them mountaineers was in there. Why, they'd come out of the often woods and the cornfield. They didn't put their work before God. They'd come out in. Mothers would push their dinners back and come in and start praying to that cow that was hot and fever. I can remember when they, what time I was sick, when they come in and they prayed. And it just vanished away. Just when I was sick. Lord, have mercy. They sometimes they'd get a doctor, and the doctor would come and give, they used to call it Talmud. Talmud that they give a lot of kids. It was something kind of like penicillin of our day, but they get to it. And then my old mamas and dads, they'd get to praying before they'd ever give any medicine, and they had an altar of deliverance in their hearts. They believed God. They believed when they asked God something, they would help. Hallelujah. And do you know what? The doctor come back, he'd make a second call and come back. He'd come back and come in and touch on the door. Come in. How's the young one, Mr. Zealand? Oh, well, he's here. He's a player now. He's doing fine. If you don't know what period it is, well, down home it means well. And they had a horse of them. They know a lot of things. And I want to tell you something. I ain't going to, it won't be a throwing stone, but down on that creek where we live, there was a number of Pentecostal boys went to number two where it was. And I want to tell you one thing. They were other faith on that creek, and they lost their young men numbers and numbers. But that Pentecostal band of people didn't lose one man. They prayed. They taught their hearts. Hallelujah. They believed in deliverance. I know of one old woman. Her son was out on the ocean, and the ship was bombed out and under, and she was on her face crying and praying. And God gave her a vision. She seen that ship breaking through, but she seen her boy get saved. He got a hold of something other and was delivered and come back home. And he's in the country tonight. You can have an altar of deliverance. And that's what we want around here every night. That's what we want around. You sisters, when somebody, I've seen a lady two or three nights. I don't know where she, but she's up in here both nights. And right here along here, so she's afraid. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if you had so much deliverance that you could deliver your sister? Somebody said, now what are you preaching, Brother Ely? In the Bible, they laid hands on people. If they had so much of the power of God in them, if they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost, they were healed, they were signs and wonders and miracles. That was the part because they had an offer of deliverance. Oh, praise the Lord. Then, we come down to the altar of the Bible. And that's where I got my text tonight. And I'm soon going to come. You know how that great man of God, he waited up till around the midday. And
He walked out and he said to them people of Baal, was crying out to them, suppose your God asked, had you gone on a journey? Did you sleep? Was you out on vacation? How a little more? How a little louder? He knows they're making fools out of themselves. And there's a lot of people, and I hate to say this, but there's a lot of people in Pentecost that God don't no more hear them nothing. I hate to say that, sister. I hate to say that, brother. But there's a lot of people in Pentecost that if you ask them, just say, yeah, boy, I'm a Pentecostal. I believe in being saved and thank God that time's the Holy Ghost. And a lot of them testify to it. Hello. But there was a man. There was a man that was ready to have a revival. He had everything out of the way. We've come down from the mouth of God. When we come down from by the mouth of God, we're going to have a revival. That's why a lot of our churches don't have revivals, but it's because they don't go direct by the word of God. There's a lot of people trying to have revivals without a revival within them. That's where the revival starts right in here. Oh, praise God. Now, don't get me wrong. I feel a revival around here. You say, you sure ain't preaching like it. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking for a big revival. You say, you sure ain't preaching like it, Brother Lena. You turn this revival all the pieces. Well, if you turn all the pieces, God's going to take the good that stays in it and give a revival. Hallelujah. Glory. So here comes this fellow down. And boy, he had God. He knew what he was doing. He went to the mouth of God. And he said, well, just turn it over to me. He got in here, and here's where the tail go down the altar and be an altar. He cut and built that altar up, built him an altar for the Lord. And he put his sacrifice up. And he backed off, and he called on God. Hear me, O Lord! Hear me! That this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the power of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stone, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the place. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face. And they said, the Lord, He is God, the Lord. What a revival. What a revival. All at once, they saw it in his face. They saw a man of God just stand out there and tell God. Show these people that you are the Lord God of Israel, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and prove to them that I'm your servant, and the fall of God fell. I seen that little young fellow over here last night, and they prayed with him and prayed with him. After a while, the fall of God fell. Lord, his tongue began to act like a flame of fire. I saw him here the other night when they were there crying and praying with him. After a while, man, he turned. I've seen them fellows that come begin to bounce back and forth in their mouths. Ah! Give me a revival! Give me a revival of thought. I preached maybe tonight an hour and a half or 2 hours, but I'll tell you what. If it just goes the way I feel, it takes another hour. But you want me to tell you something, God? Do you believe God had an answer? God had an answer. God's altar was one of the pitifulest altars I ever looked at. God's altar was the most suffering altar that ever I looked at. Abraham, in his obedience, was a top point to the day that God would build an altar and put a sacrifice on it for the world, the sin of the world. God's altar was a cross. A noble, bloody cross. A cross with his only begotten Son, giving up the best piece of it, that you and I could have the best that was provided for mankind. Tonight, on God's altar was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins. And tonight, can we see God's altar and see ourselves close to it? Draw us inside to Him, and Him drawing nigh unto us. God will still have a flesh offering and a blood offering on His offering. And that was Jesus. And tonight, all He's requiring, Brother Faith, is for you to let that flesh and blood, that heart, be for nothing else. That's all He's requiring out of the universe, Brother Faith. He never asked me to give Him my eyes. He never said, God, give me your hands. He never said, give me your feet. But He said, give me thy heart. And tonight, that's all He wants us to do. Tonight, when you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before the Lord, as a reasonable service, God so loved the world. On His altar, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. But that is less than that. God bless you. I preach my best. At this time, while they sing a number, we're going to give you an opportunity that you would come and that you'd pray. I know it's been a man, backslider. I haven't listened to you tonight. For some reason, God didn't let me. I would love to. But for some reason, God tonight has preached me the way that I was hoping that I wouldn't have to preach in this revival. I never come up here to try to straighten nobody out. I never come up here to try to abuse and rebuke and scorn. But I come to obey the mouth of God. And I love you. I never preach to you because I'm hateful. But I preach to you because God give me this. And I hope you'll accept it. Would you stand, and whosoever will, let them come to this altar tonight and present themselves. Every one of you that'll come. Every sinner that'll come, every backslider, everyone that sees a need in your life to come before God, come tonight. Young and old, middle-aged, whoever you might be, I want you to come. God has preached me tonight on tying down altars. Build an altar for God. I wonder tonight if you'll come. Are there others? Feel this altar. Every saint of God has to be in this altar. Praying for the use of praying. Every saint of God has to be bombarded in heaven right now.
This way,
in behalf of thee. Come with me.
Bless the Lord. Thank God.
There is the Lord of it all.
Oh, would you come? Would you come? Every son of God finds your place to pray. You may be the first one to get through a prayer and touch the throne of God. Come.